pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my amazing friends. In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
I was told this week to start an OnlyFans.
You should.
I shouldn't.
Why not?
Because I am old and fat. My feet are ugly. What do you want from me?
Honey, there is somebody out there who would want to see it. I guarantee you.
Yeah. So there's $10 a month. What do I do with the rest of my time? I mean, I did, and I'm still kicking the idea around of starting up an OnlyFans for myself where I do physical rehab to try and make my hands play guitar again through the arthritis and through the carpal tunnel.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't we talk about this years ago about you doing OnlyFans for teaching guitar or something like that? But
yeah, teaching myself how to play guitar again because it's, you know.
Well, I mean, you could do it both ways. You could, as you're teaching yourself to play guitar, you could be showing someone, okay, this is how you do this part. You know, this is how you do this thing. And it's not necessarily I'm going to teach you how to play guitar from the very beginning, but it's like, this is how you do this strum, or this is how you do this picking process to make it easy on you. And I'm having to figure this out because I've got arthritis in both hands, you know?
Yeah. What my plan was
might have people jump on for that. Yeah.
To get the carpal tunnel surgeries and then do it as rehab. But I've been not only unable to afford to do that. We found cancer in the meantime, which I'm still not doing anything about because I don't have any fucking money. But, I don't know. I am trying to find alternative revenue streams because I'm having such a hard time finding a job. And, you know, let's just say that the line to get in the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy is awful quick. we've had one so far.
Ooh. Fair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool, and he loves it, and he was happy to do it. He was very pleased and said it was a bargain at twice the price, which he only paid the price, you know.
Right.
But, yeah,
right.
So I'm still going to keep pushing on it for another couple of months, and if it doesn't take off, I'll cancel it.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, you can always pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com and just hit one of those donation links as well. Those are pretty quick, pretty
right.
Fluffy. Yeah. Anyway, OnlyFans. So we were talking about OnlyFans and all of Jocelyn's favorite channels earlier.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's
has your therapist says. Helped you with your addiction problem with pornography?
Oh my God. Is this because I called you old?
Yes. Yes,
hey,
it is.
Hey. I've got one vice,
Jesus
okay?
Christ.
Let me have it.
It is not my fault that you didn't know that accounting was a term for porn. Oh my gosh.
I don't buy it.
It's all fair.
You don't buy it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Well, shall we?
Any other chit-chatty things?
Nah, life's copacetic over here.
Oh, good. I'm glad things are copacetic. I moved 16 long boxes yesterday and went and sold them at my local comic book shop. Not that I got anything for them, but the one thing I got out of it was they're out of my fucking basement.
Fair. That sometimes can be all you need.
I had pulled a bunch of keys and a couple of books I knew my buddy would like. He's really into foreign comics, you know, foreign reprints of comics, and I happened to have a Japanese Batman, the motion picture, the first, you know, the first Tim Burton Batman.
Ooh.
It was a Japanese version of it that a friend had brought back from his mission in Japan. And
nice.
I was like, and he gave it to me. And so I was like, I think you're going to like this because this is pretty cool. And he was like, I love it. I love it. And then I was like, yeah, I pulled as many keys as I could. And then he was flipping through. We went through each box as we pulled him out of my car. And he flipped through them really quickly. And he's like, oh, you missed a couple. I had an Invincible in there that I didn't think was worth anything. And then I also had the very first appearance of Jeff, the Land Shark, in West Coast Avengers.
I love that for you.
So, yeah.
Really?
And if I had known that, it would not have been in that box.
Right.
It would be over here in my special pile that I want to get slabs so I have, so I have some very valuable items. But they're all out of my house. So there, now you can see the Salter flag behind me rather than me having a big stack of crates right behind me, which was always fun in this office because sometimes I have to go outside to change my mind in this office. So,
yeah. Fair. Very fair.
Anyway, let's dive into some comic book news. We got a lot.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
For its 60th anniversary special, since it's canceled everything else, Star Trek's getting a comic book.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yep. The 60th anniversary celebration. It's an anniversary special. The fan favorite indie publisher, IDW, with their new stupid logo, has officially unveiled its next major one-shot anthology, Star Trek 60th Anniversary Special. Half a dozen stories from some of the most critically acclaimed creators of today. Okay, who we got? Let's see. Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh.
Mike McMahon. Ryan North, David F. Walker, Chris Fenoglio, Dana Gould.
Oh, wow.
Is that the Dana Gould? Or is that a comic book Dana Gould?
I don't know, but you kind of glossed over Mike McMahon. He's the guy who created Lower Decks, you know, the series.
Yeah, so, I like Mike McMahon.
So he's writing a Lower Decks story for the 60th anniversary, which is a big deal. So, yeah.
That is fantastic.
Nice.
Dave Baker, Megan Camarena. And Christopher Cantwell. Oh, I know that one.
Mm. Oh, crap. Ooh, fuck yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So you get a little tickle on your Bendis. You get a little McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
That always tickles your Bendis to get some McMahon.
That tickles the Bendis.
You know, and then you can Cantwell.
Bendis has been busy doing other things like, you know, producing Daredevil, the series and stuff. So
yeah.
He hasn't been writing anything lately.
Cantwell. I mean, it was like when we lost Matt Fraction to Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
You know.
Now he's back doing Batman at least, but yeah.
Yeah. Kiki and the New Magic to be published in English for the first time. Delacorte Press is bringing Kiki and the New Magic, the sequel to the beloved Kiki's Delivery Service, written by Aiko Kodono, illustrated by, how unfortunate, Utah. Where are you from, Utah? Anoda. Anyway, this is the first time that the sequel has ever been published in English.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it looks adorable.
I love it.
And it's, this is it, guys. If you were, I'm a huge fan of Kiki's Delivery Service, the film, the Miyazaki film, and it's so good. And I knew there was a manga out for it. I just never got one, you know, and then I did hear that, oh, well, you can only get the first Kiki's Delivery Service as a manga. The second book isn't out in English. And I'm like, okay.
It's, if you're only familiar with Kiki through Miyazaki's 89 Studio Ghibli adaptation, the sequel's arrival mm-hmm. will also coincide with the release of a new deluxe edition of Kiki's Delivery Service.
Ooh.
So that'll be nice. What else we got? Patton Oswalt coming back for Money Shot, the fuck offs.
I love it.
Yep. It's Tim Seeley and the gang minus what's her name? Oh, I forgot her name already. She wrote, she was with the first two. Sarah Beatty.
Mm. Sarah Beatty, yep.
Yeah. I still like, make no mistake, I still like Money Shot. Everything that they've put out from the beginning until everything I've read current. I really like it. But I can tell the difference without Sarah Beatty being on the book.
Ah, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
That's all. She just lent something, some unknown, but I can feel it, something. So, but anyway, yeah, that's coming, and Patton Oswalt's on it, and that's going to be a hoot.
Nice.
And a holler. For its 40th anniversary, Dark Horse is getting organized. Workers at Dark Horse Media have announced plans to unionize under the name Dark Horse Workers United. Look, say what you will. Mm-hmm. That is the coolest union name.
Yes, it is.
Dark Horse Workers United. The group is asking interim CEO Jay Comas and Dark Horse leadership to voluntarily recognize the union by June 3rd, which will allow for a more streamlined negotiation process. Mm-hmm. Dark Horse Workers United cites three primary goals: improving job security, wages, and benefits, increasing transparency and equity in the workplace to foster more comfortable communication between teams, and in which integral workplace information is shared with the entire company, and lastly, taking a seat at the table when it comes to critical decision making that impacts the stakeholders, including workers.
Yep. They just had a round of layoffs, and that's usually when you got to get organized, because it's like, oh, now you've laid off all these people. And I'm still here. That means I get to work now. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
I get to do their work too.
So there is a petition from the Communications Workers of America, Local 7901, telling Dark Horse leadership to voluntarily recognize the union. If you pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, go down on the show notes, you'll find this. You can click on it and you can sign it as well. I have. I hope you do too.
I signed it, and I got to sign it as not only a fan / person who buys Dark Horse comics, but also they had a checkbox for creator. So I got to sign it as a creator, which is
nice.
Yep.
Well, I have done the same. Anyway, so you can pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com and click on that and show your support. In the meantime, Dark Horse is setting up to close its Things from Another World retail stores. I can't imagine they're going to shut it down online, but I haven't, you know. But yeah, the restructuring for the Dark Horse parent company, Fellowship Entertainment, Dark Horse Media has issued a statement announcing the closure of their three Things from Another World stores and new focuses for Dark Horse Media and Games. Things from Another World is an extension of Dark Horse founder Mike Richardson's time as a retailer, and announced they would be closing down their mail order business last year. Oh, I missed that.
Oh.
Hmm. The two Oregon locations will be closing at the end of June, while the California location, a prominent space on Universal City Walk, will not close down until the end of September. That's a really good place to have a fucking comic book shop, is right in the middle of Universal.
Right.
You know, I wonder why it wasn't working.
Yeah, no shit.
Perhaps not enough Funkos and tchotchkes.
Mm-hmm.
Or freeze-dried candy. Anyway, boring story. So
we're only selling cold thing. We're only selling our cold stuff, our cold drinks and stuff here. Why aren't we still moving any comics?
Yeah, there you go.
They come in for the air conditioning, dude. They're just going to looky-loo at your comics, just like the gift shop. Yeah.
Because a lot of it has got to be, I don't want to carry this shit around the park.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know? I mean, I remember the reason that I have this purse right here is because I was carrying a messenger bag when we were doing the Comic-Con. And it was always getting very full and very heavy. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to get a bag I can't fit anything in. Turns out you can fit about 20 comics in this fucking purse. and still have room on the side in the front pocket. So it just got heavy. It just didn't get as heavy.
Oh yeah.
You could fit like several comics and a t-shirt at least in that fucker. Yep.
Yep. Michael Kelly, vice president, publisher of Boom, will be leaving the position next month, announced today by Keith Clayton, the senior vice president, publisher of Random House Worlds Group, the division where Boom is located in the Penguin Random House structure. Andy Schmidt, VP, editor-in-chief of Boom, will now report directly to Clayton. Kelly will depart in mid-June to pursue other opportunities, meaning he was downsized and we don't have a good reason other than we fired him.
This is what happens with mergers. When you merge a company or a company buys you out, like Penguin Random House basically bought out Boom and took over all of it. So he gets a golden parachute and gets to walk away, you know, because he probably negotiated that deal. So I'm sure he got a 10% deal out of the whole thing, a 10% bonus out of the whole fucking thing, out of the sale of it. So yeah, he's walking away happy. He just had to, you know, finish docking the ship into Penguin Random House's boatyard, and now they're taking over.
Well, I hope that's true. I hope that he was doing well. They put out some pretty good shit, Boom Studios, from time to time, and I enjoy them. And then just for funsies, JP Morgan is in a fight over 8.2 million comics in Diamond's bankruptcy.
Good Lord.
JP Morgan Chase has become the key financial force in a bankruptcy fight that has left roughly 8.2 million comics, graphic novels, figurines, and tabletop games stuck inside of a 600,000 square foot Mississippi warehouse. The inventory, tied to bankrupt Diamond comic distributors, spans some of the biggest names in pop culture, including, I love this because it was written by a finance guy. Mm-hmm. It was ready. So, Batman, James Bond, Doctor Who, Garfield, Rick and Morty, Spider-Man. I could just see him going, Mickey Mouse, yeah. Donald Duck, okay. The Power Rangers, yeah. The Witcher 3. It's not The Witcher 3, dumbass. That's a video game. It's just The Witcher. Okay? And Star Wars-related titles. You're writing for the word, sport. I get you are. So anyway, for investors, it's not just about trapped collectibles. It could be a reminder that consignment inventory can become a real creditor battleground when a distributor collapses and ownership is contested. Well, it's because Diamond is a distributor. They don't own the shit. They just pull it in, get a fee, and ship it out at an exorbitant rate. I don't know how many pieces of paper I got in big boxes that cost me $18 to $25 for shipping from fucking Diamond.
Yeah. And these things they were holding for Dynamite as backstock for shops who wanted them and had promised to reorder them and stuff. And when Ad Populum took over Diamond, they were like, oh no, this is an asset to us. We're selling it. Period. And now JP Morgan's involved. I don't think Ad Populum's going to last much longer for this shit. I don't think we're going to have a distribution through any with the name Diamond on it for a long fucking time.
No. And it couldn't happen to a nicer group. Actually, you know, I think I've told this several times is Diamond was a fucking train wreck. Diamond was a mess.
Right.
But Diamond's customer service, having realized that the rest of the company was completely fucked up, was some of the best customer service I have ever had in my entire life for any reason. They were wonderful. They were gracious. They were apologetic. They got shit fixed as best they could. You know, Diamond customer service, top notch, top shelf, wonderful people. Never, ever had a bad experience with customer service. Just saying.
Nice.
But yeah, the rest of the company was fucked. Anyway, that's it for the news, gang.
Quick follow-up from 2 weeks ago, I guess, was the last time we had a show out. We talked about a comic book coming out with AI. The creator declared that there was AI art in it, in one of the stories. It was up the anthology of the Eisners. I can report with absolute certainty, because I'm an Eisner voter, thanks to being a comic book creator, that was not put in the best anthology list in the Eisners for voting. So they probably yanked the fucker out as soon as they found out there was AI artwork in it, and said, nope, that one's not there. Because we typically had five in each category, and Best Anthology had four. You had Come Out and Play, The Queer Sports Project, you had DC Pride 2025, you had Noir is the New Black Season 2, and you had the 2000 AD 2026 annual featuring Judge Dredd. And I can't remember what the other one was called, but that was supposed to be in there, and that they yanked that one out pretty quick once they found out there was AI art, it looks like. So my vote was for DC Pride 2025, because I had the others, one and two. I really like DC Pride 2025. So
right.
This year, they're doing an issue a week with Pride for their Pride story. So I'm not getting that because I like the single book, you know.
Fair enough.
Anyway, that was my follow-up story. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to give our picks of the week and picks of the future.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at mondayinamerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
So, you know who's got two thumbs and got the last page of issue 6 of his comic book series back? This guy.
Nice.
Nope. Damn it.
So issue 6 is, I'm going to put for everybody who backed us, you'll be getting the survey next week, which, by the way, just because it says survey, you need to do it because that's the only way we get your address. It's not like you put your address in Kickstarter, you know, just your email address. So check whatever bullshit email address you use to your spam email address. Check that this next week for the surveys that'll be coming out. And one of the questions will be, would you like your name printed in issue 6? And what name would you like printed in issue 6? And I will put it in what I created a letters page that no one's written a letter in for. I'll put everybody's names on that last letters page for issue 6, because that's the end of the first series. And then we move on to the next series. Actually, we're going to do a trade first, and then we'll move on to the next series. So all that's coming together for Child and Nun. So thank you, everyone who supported us, backed us this time around. You have my eternal gratitude. Whether you put your name in the issue or not, I still know what a special little snowflake you are. And with that being said, let us give our picks of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high, and I was just your pick of the week.
All right, Joss, what is your picks of the week?
Do we want to talk about what we read first?
Did we not do that?
Nope.
No, we sure didn't.
Oh, man.
And I was really excited. I read some really good books, so I'm going to say let's do that.
Let's do that.
Let's do that. All right. I caught up on Wonder Woman, and oh, my God, you guys, if you're not reading Wonder Woman, why? It's so good. It's
misogyny.
So very good. I know. Boys don't like girls in their comic books.
That is untrue. I'm sorry.
That is untrue. You're right.
I mean,
you should see my current pull list. That is untrue for me as well.
Well, I know it's untrue for you guys.
Wonder Woman. I did stop getting Wonder Woman because it just it wasn't holding me, even though we have one of the most talented writers working on it.
Oh, but the new bad guy, which is not a guy. Mm-hmm. It's the matriarch, and it's amazing. And I'm
see, that's it. Had he gotten us to the matriarch earlier,
right?
I would have been so excited. But it took so fucking long for this first arc.
Wow.
The first arc that introduced Trinity, that introduced the Emperor of America, all that
the Sovereign.
Stuff. The Sovereign, the King of America.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I was like, they announced the Matriarch thing coming out, and there was an interruption where somebody else was going to be writing a few issues. I was like, I think I'm done. Sorry,
that's fair.
Tom King, I'm done.
That's fair. I mean, it did take 33 issues to get here, so
yeah,
I get that. I caught up on The Mortal Thor, and I'm just really loving it. It's just a fun, fun book. It just makes you happy. I read Daredevil number 2, The Return of Foggy Nelson to the series. Not return. It's a new series, but our first appearance of Foggy in this world is pretty awesome. I got to read Odin number 1. Oh, my gosh. It made me feel kind of icky. But also had a twist at the end that was really, really intense. So I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with it. And then last but not least, by any means, I read Seven Wives, which we talked about. Yep. Seven Wives is the FLDS murder. And I did not see that last page coming. It kind of shocked me. I'm excited to see what's going to happen in this one.
If you don't mind, I'm going to turn the time over to Brother Johnson for the cease and desist portion of today's sacrament meeting.
And when it came to Seven Wives, something that was written a week or two ago, I read it and I was like, it makes me a little nervous about Seven Wives. That it's not going to be faithful to LDS. It's not going to portray LDS or FLDS accurately. Oh, no. Whoever wrote this escaped from the FLDS, I can tell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They know the inner workings of the FLDS.
They know how this shit goes down. If they didn't escape, they knew. They didn't just read a book written by one of the former FLDS. They fucking knew that person, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, it was so well done. So well done. Jeff, how about you?
Matt Fraction's Thor Omnibus.
I knew it.
That's going to be
how
my default for a while. Matt Fraction understood Thor on a level very few people ever did.
Nice.
You know, when it's different than the Jason Aaron era, you know, but delightfully so. So there's a lot of good stuff here, and Fraction is really good with supporting characters that cross over as well. He very good at capturing their voices and mannerisms and stuff, and so it doesn't feel weird or jarring when a character you like that has its own, you know, continuity pops into your book and the writer of your book is like, well, I just need lines delivered, and so it doesn't feel right. When Fraction does it, it feels right. So I'm enjoying it as much as I can find time to do it.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of time to read right now, but when I do, I pull out my 40-pound tome.
Nice. Yep.
What about you, sir?
Let's see. For me this week, we had Seven Wives as well. We had Berserker, Light Draws Breath, which is a one-shot in the Berserker anthology series, written by Season Butler, with art by China Melville, Alessio Avalone, and Sarah Como. Season, what the fuck did I just read? That's what I want to know. So he gets killed, and he goes, and what happens is this egg will form, and then he bursts out of the egg reborn. That's how he's immortal. Right?
Okay.
And this alchemist, as the egg is starting to form, sends his servant over, and she scoops up a big old jar full of the blood and stuff that's forming into the egg.
Ew.
And they take it back to a lab, because to their alchemy lab, because they're going to turn it into aqua vitae, the water of life. So they're going to become
right.
Immortal. Right. This was the quest of early. Everybody says, "Oh, turning lead to gold." No, it was about immortality. Everything that alchemists did back in the early histories was about immortality. And this feels like Greek period when it starts, or Roman period when it starts. Anyway, they fuck up. They can't get it to work right. And finally, there is this little homunculus of the berserker that has grown. He never gets any bigger than that. He's just this tiny little, everybody calls him her weird little doll. and he winds up growing basically Keanu Reeves' face. And he grows the little beard and the hair that they, you know, the Keanu Reeves beard and hair and everything. And it was just, I read the whole thing and I was like, yeah, this was dumb. I didn't like it. Star Trek Celebrations released this week for Pride Week, for Pride Month. Here we go. So Star Trek Celebrations, this has some great stories in it. You have a Mariner going on a date and where her girlfriend, Jennifer, she thinks she's going to break up with her, but Jennifer wants to be official girlfriends.
Aww.
You get a story about Talir, who is non-binary. I like that they say MX, mixed Talir's day out. So MX instead of MR or MS. That's the first time I've encountered that in the wild. That title in the wild is MX. I thought that was cool. There's a little story with Seven of Nine and basically showing her girlfriend her life on the Voyager, which was an okay story for the most part. The one that stands out, though, is a story featuring Jaden and our boy Kyle. And it's written by Karim Diane, who played Jaden, who plays Jaden on Starfleet Academy. So
that's awesome.
I guess played is the more accurate one, even though we haven't seen season two yet, providing that Paramount releases the fucking thing. They filmed it at least. So, you know, but they're all done. They canceled it. You got a story where Sulu meets Ben. This is Sulu from the Kelvin universe meets Ben, his husband that we meet in Star Trek, the third one, in that group. And then finally, a story about Nurse Chapel and a woman that she kind of digs. So it was good. It was a good one. I liked this one a lot. Sometimes there were a couple of stories I was like, but it wasn't a story I was like, oh my God, why did you let that one get put in there? This was every story was good. You know, maybe not for me, but every story was good. Finally, we have finished the four issues of The Phantom of the Opera from Universal Monsters. Okay. Martin Simmons is an amazing and beautiful artist. I do not know if he is actually working with paints or if he's just really that good in digital, but his artwork is beautiful, and that's what this is. This is absolutely beautiful. He also did the first Dracula as well. This was absolutely beautiful. It's the fucking Phantom of the Opera story. If you know the story, if you've seen the musical, heard the fucking musical, grew up listening to the goddamn musical because you were a theater kid, you know this story backwards and forward. If you've seen the movies, you know this story. But to see Martin Simmons paint it is why it's worth reading. So that's what I've got. And that is it. Now we can give our picks of the week.
I'm not playing the sounder again. So let's just keep going.
All right,
fantastic. Marvel Comics, we mentioned this character earlier today. It's Jeff. Brand new week is coming out. Since he made his debut, Jeff the Landshark has enjoyed the company of Marvel Universe's greatest heroes, but all he wants is to be left alone after he runs into a cleany sectopus named Ken. When they find themselves stuck together in a tricky predicament, will Jeff put aside his grievances in time to help them both escape? The Jeff comics just are delightfully fun. They're just so cute and charming, and they're just fun. And right now, fun is needed in this universe.
Ken the Septipus. I love that.
Ken the Septipus. And then coming out also from Marvel Comics in the Marvel Premiere Collection is The Visions by Tom King. This was a fantastic series. This is collecting all 12 issues of Vision creating his little family because he wants to be human and humans have families. It was a fun run. It was a good one. So if you haven't read this, and this is a steal at $14.99 for all 12 issues. So great deal. How about you, Jeff? What you picking?
Great question. I am going with from Uncivilized is the name. It's called UK in a Bad Way and Other Stories. It looks interesting. And I don't recall the name of the publisher before. Long-awaited first collection of comics by award-winning writer, artist James Harvey, who's done Master Plasti, Doom Patrol, Faux Action, and Lifehouse for comics. And then what is this? Love, Death, and Robots, Metal Gear Solid for screens. So I have enjoyed their work before, and now we'll have a chance to do it again for a measly $28. Because fuck you, that's why. Supernatural Special, Castiel number one. I love Supernatural.
I know.
I do.
I'm so happy for you.
I love it the way non-smokers like talking about non-smoking, you know, because I hated it. When I first came across it, and then after it kind of bled into my consciousness, I was like, you know what? This show's pretty good. And then by the end, I'm like, I can't believe it's over, fuckers. So that one's coming out from Dynamite. Dynamite. What about you?
Were we doing indies?
Yeah.
All right.
I did main, but okay.
Oh, you know what?
I get the privilege of doing them all, so I'll start with my mainstreams. Mainstream-wise, I've got Iron Man number 6 coming out. This is a new story arc, and it will it features Tony Stark and Norman Osborn having a history together. And the Iron Patriot armor is stolen, and that, of course, points to Norman Osborn because he was the Iron Patriot after the Civil War. After the Skrull invasion. And then the only problem is Iron Man has just one tiny little thing standing in his way to take down Norman Osborn, and that's Spider-Man.
Oh.
Yep. So Spidey's getting in his way, and that ought to be fun. From DC Comics, I am so excited for this. You've got all the all-star creators of 2025 hit miniseries The Kryptonite Superman, The Kryptonite Spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also the guys who do Ice Cream Man, the anthology series.
So good.
Right.
And they are doing Dead Man for DC Comics.
Okay.
Boston Brand is a very cool character, very different kind of character because he's a dead dude. You can't see him. Only certain people can see him. So the only way anybody gets to know he's around is he possesses the bodies of people. He's also a former acrobat, so suddenly these people are doing crazy gymnastics and stuff when he possesses them. And this is basically, things are going to change a little bit for Boston Brand with this series. So I'm looking forward to reading this one.
I hope I never get possessed by a dead acrobat. Can you imagine what you'd feel like the next day?
Oh, yeah. You'd be in so much pain.
Yeah.
And people are showing you phone videos of what you did, and you're like,
do it again, do it again.
No wonder I hurt.
Nope.
No wonder I hurt.
Yep.
Let's see. From Massive Publishing, we have, and this is a, you know, one of their, somebody else who's pushing through Massive Publishing. This is a mature audiences book called Madame Tarantula Number One. The name and the cover, which the cover looks like a 1950s pulp fiction novel. I was digging that. So the fearsome femme of the distant future West battles the robot takeover of the world. A stunning sci-fi exploration of what may be coming or is already here. Like, all right, I'm all for Madame Tarantula. And finally, from Mad Cave, a disgraced astronaut, Mark Mitchell, has only ever had one true mission, to find his little brother, Joey, who was abducted by aliens from a crop circle when they were little. But when Mark's hotshot piloting gets him grounded and the last of the public space program is defunded, Mark loses his only means of finding Joey out in space. Until Mark's homemade scanning rig discovers the shocking truth about the crop circles, their instructions space travel. Mark will need to uncover the hidden messages that have been left on Earth for years and reverse engineer the magic that can finally help him find Joey. In this book is called The New Space Age. It's by Kenny Porter and Mike Becker. And those are my picks. Let's go back to Jeff. What are your mainstream picks, I guess?
Yep. Oopsie daisy. Wool Gathering, coming out from DC, Supergirl, The World. I don't know if you guys remember, they did The World for Batman a few years back. Mm-hmm. And they had artists and writers from all over the world. This anthology puts together United States, Spain, Italy, Serbia, Cameroon, Finland, Argentina, Turkey, France, Poland, Mexico, Germany, Colombia, and Japan. I'm here for it. I really liked Batman the World. It was good. I'm sitting here with the power of the internet in my hands, not knowing if they ever did a Superman the World or not. But I kind of hope they didn't. I hope that they went to Supergirl first. Because fair. Fuck the patriarchy.
Yeah.
They did not do Superman the World. So, yeah, you've got Supergirl the World. I think that's going to be awesome.
Outstanding. And then the Just Spectacular collection from Marvel. Your favorite heroes and villains, illustrated by the incomparable J. Scott Campbell. It's a collection of his variant covers. Black Cat, Black Panther, Black Widow, Captain America, Carnage, Cyclops, Daredevil, Doctor Doom, Doctor Strange, Ghost Rider, Ghost Spider, Hulk, Human Torch, Iron Man, Magic, Mary Jane, Watson, Nova, Psylocke, Rogue, She-Hulk, both Spider-Man, Storm, Thanos, Thor, Venom, and even a pair of Wolverines. All drawn with impossible anatomy by, well, a guy who's probably as perverted as I am.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. 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 I got a feeling J. Scott Campbell does some weird shit when nobody's looking. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what about you?
So my indie picks this week from IDW, We Are Pan. This is based on the true story of Operation Pedro Pan, a joint effort between the U.S. government and the Catholic Welfare Bureau to evacuate 14,000 children from Cuba to the U.S. between 1960 and 1962. It's the story of how these children never saw their families again and their lives would be changed forever. It sounds pretty poignant and important to read. But then also from Dark Horse Comics, Only the Savage Are Left, number one, a strange virus has spread across the world, transforming its victims into monsters. The only cure is to kill another infected soul. When a nonviolent young man sets out from the safety of his settlement to find his missing true love, he must face the corrupted world of monsters and monster killers. A dramatic survival adventure that dares to ask what we should stand for in the monster apocalypse. This is coming out. Zach Kaplan is writing this, and he is the author of Kill All Immortals and Kill All Immortals 2, which I've loved. So I'm going to pick up. I'm going to pick it up. That's what I got.
Excellent. Well, let's hop in the TARDIS, and we're going to head to August to give our picks of the future. All right, Joss. Let me start out by saying these books are coming out in August. That means they are available to order now from your local comic book shop. Pre-orders is how the publishers know whether or not a comic book gets to stick around. Because if their pre-orders start going down, they stop ordering it. The other thing about pre-orders is comic shops only order so many over and above what people order for their holds. So if you want this book, as we talk about them, you need to make sure you pre-order them and get them in your hold. Is that simple? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am picking up from Dark Horse, The Big Shakedown number one, from authors Tim Seeley and Jordan Bloom. The big one, the earthquake to end all earthquakes has finally struck Los Angeles. The government decides not to rebuild, and the city becomes a no man's land for those who refuse to leave it. But hey, you can't beat the weather. There's a PI willing to do anything to escape the City of Angels. She believes she's found her ticket out when a desperate father hires her to solve a missing persons case in a city where a third of the population is already missing. Instead, the trail of the lost girl leads Esther Blanco to discover a dark web of cults, conspiracy, and corruption that threatens every Angelino that stayed behind. I just like the idea of a destroyed LA that nobody will leave anyway because the weather's so nice.
Well, they probably afford to go.
That's true. That's true. How about you, Jeff? What are you picking up in the future, buddy?
Picking up in the future? Well, that's a great question right there. What did I pick? Long Lost, the complete edition. Collected in a complete edition for the first time, the critically acclaimed slice of life horror that puts creators Matthew Ehrman, who did Loving Ohio, Power Rangers at Dark Crystal, and Witchblood, and Lisa Stirl from Modern Witch, Tarot, Dying Inside Squad, and also Witchblood on the map. Long Lost is the story of two estranged sisters who were drawn back to their small southern hometown after receiving invitations from an otherworldly creature. The pair is compelled to unlock the disturbing mysteries that are hidden in Hazel Patch in the hopes of uncovering. It just looks fucking good. It just looks fun. You know, I like finding different things. I like finding no capes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No capes.
Yep. What about you?
Speaking of no capes, from Image Comics, we have Yumi 00X, as in and that's spelled EX. 00EX, number one of four, from Doug Wagner.
Our hey, friend we know Doug that guy. Wagner
and Hoyt Silva. This is yet another reprinting of Doug's stuff from that he put out on Patreon a few years ago. I think back when I did Shaolin Nun number one, in fact. This one was very cool. He and Hoyt did this crazy story about this. She's a Japanese lethal killer, basically, raised by ninjas kind of stuff. And her MI6 boyfriend disappears on her. So she storms the agency. She hacks their network. She dismantles their operatives and sets everything on fire. This is just in the first part of the story. And then she winds up getting this car, I guess, that was supposed to go to her boyfriend. It's a Lamborghini that has a full AI, and it's not even like a James Bond spy car. It's a WMD that she's driving around in. And it is so much fun because her interaction with the car is just one of the delights of reading this book. It's an anti-spy thriller. It's by Doug Wagner. Why aren't you ordering it right now? Go order it. Get it in your hold. Period. That's it. That's all I got. So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're heading to Tinseltown.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hey, folks, Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic. It's not about the software. And it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
All right, guys. What have you watched this out of Tinseltown this week that wasn't The Mandalorian and Grogu?
Not The Mando and Grogu. I watched Battlestar Galactica. It is on Paramount. It's currently streaming on Paramount. And so we had started it a while back and then ran out of episodes. And now it's back. I even got to watch the 2-episode miniseries, the like prequel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. I am enjoying Battlestar Galactica.
So good.
So it's a fun one. It's so good.
So very good.
And yeah. And then on Netflix, this was just a cute one from Sally Field and... who's the guy who plays Doc Ock? Alfred Molina is the voice of the octopus. And then Pullman. Pullman's not Bill Pullman, but his kid.
Junior, Bob.
Yeah, Bob. So I found it ironic. 3 MCU actors were in Remarkably Bright Creatures, which Sally Field is just this cute little old lady who cleans an aquarium. And the octopus helps... save the day. It's fun. It's worth, if you're looking for something that's just cute, it's just going to give you cute feelings. It's a good watch. It is. How about you, Jeff?
The octopus talks?
Well, the octopus does like voiceover.
Oh, all right.
So like the octopus is like kind of your narrator.
I'm like, is this Sheep Detectives? Is that what we're doing?
No.
Right now? Okay.
It's all not right. Sheep Detectives, but it's really cute. Really cute.
All right. Jack Ryan over on Prime. I am currently fighting my way through season 4 because they just dropped a movie and I want to watch the movie, but the movie's based on the series and I had only finished season 2. So I burned through season 3 kind of off and on this week when other things weren't on. And, I'm enjoying it. John Krasinski is a tough guy. It took a minute, but it's working for me.
Nice.
I watched a little movie called Pele from just a few years ago about the 1958 World Cup and the little kid Pele's path to get there. Vincent D'Onofrio shows up. You know, it's kind of 2/3 of the way through and you're like, holy shit, it's fucking Kingpin. With a Brazilian accent. This is wonderful. But it was really good. It was really sweet. I will admit that when Brazil won the 1958 World Cup, sorry, spoiler alert.
Gave away the whole end of the movie.
I know. I was a little weepy. We've got the World Cup coming in less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have not yet decided if I'm going to give money to the evil empire or not, because all 104 games will be streamed on fucking Fox One.
Stinky
poopy. That's what it is right there.
Yes,
that is a shitty choice. That is Sophie right there was like, yeah, I'd rather pick between the babies. Over on Prime, Spider Noir with Nick Cage.
Yeah, how is that? I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Holy shit, this is good. This is some of the best work Nick Cage has put out in a long time. And it's not normal. He's still fucking weird. You know? No, it follows Ben Reilly and you know, the bad guys you're going to recognize. Silvermane. It's just, it is so noir, and you have an option to watch it in black and white or color.
Now, oh, shut up.
Yeah, I know. And they shot it with black and white in mind. So shadow play, you know, pull in focus, running lights funny, stuff like that. I did watch the third episode in color because I was interested in seeing what the bad guys looked like in color. Because especially Sandman, a little underwhelming in black and white.
Okay.
And so I flipped it on to color and I was just like, oh, they're just doing a subtle effect. Never mind then. And went back to black and white. So it is fun. It is so much fun. You know, it's like, you know, watching old Dashiell Hammett movies. I love it. I love it. I've got about 10 minutes of the last episode left to watch and we had to start recording and I ran out of time and I'm thinking a lot about it is what I'm doing. And then, let's see, watched a couple of movies this week. Spider-Man, the Raimi cut.
Oh, okay.
For the first one with Toby.
Yeah.
And from 1985, my favorite Western, Silverado.
Woo-ha!
So Braxton and I will be talking about Spider-Man and Silverado on this week's Gen Zex, which you could find over at theleftshow.com every Wednesday. It's a lot of fun. You guys should tune in.
It is.
I basically take an edible and then talk pop culture for an hour with Braxton.
It's a fun show. I've listened. I like it.
I'm really enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. We do it late on Sunday night.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, since I can't talk about Mandalorian and Grogu, how about you?
Just a couple to talk about. The Boys. This was a couple weeks ago. I watched the season finale or the series finale of The Boys. Wow. Okay. That was a good ending. I like that. Yeah. Okay. And for Boys fans, the original comic book series fans, I get it. They actually tease the whole black noir thing one too many times for it not to have the black noir ending. And, I like this ending anyway. I like this a little better, in fact. So, I felt it built up a lot more, and the Trumpisms were killing me all the way through. So, there's a moment where Homelander is in the Oval Office because they're actually filming his coming out as God from the Oval Office. He walks in, and the preacher hero is talking to this guy in a black suit coat, wearing a T-shirt that was some weird saying on it, and a baseball cap. And he says, "Yeah, this is so and so. He's a billionaire. He is doing a whole private space thing. He wants to talk to you about the reduction of the white race." And he says, "Hey, can you excuse us for a minute?" And so the billionaire goes and stands out just outside those double doors, or just outside the Oval Office, and he's standing there, and they're talking for a minute, and then there's an argument for a minute with the preacher and the deep. And while that's happening, you watch Homelander walk over, pick the guy up, fly up into space, just fly up in the sky. And then he comes back by himself. And he's like, "Hey, what happened to so-and-so, the billionaire?" He's like, "Oh, he's an astronaut. I put him in space."
Nice. Good line.
Oh, if we could have that actually fucking happen. yeah, it was so good. So that was that. Like I said, I really enjoyed the ending. Yeah, and Huey's choice made total sense to me because it's the exact. And yeah, I know it's the exact opposite of what's in the comic book. I still think it makes total sense to me for the Huey we met in this series as opposed to the Huey in the comic book. I'm sorry, that's just how it sometimes works. And I totally get it because they fucked up an NS movie. They fucked up an NS series for me before, so this one I enjoyed more. A little more. And then I finally saw Sinners.
Oh, isn't it so good? Love that movie.
Better than good for me. It was a fucking right. So good to watch. It blew my fucking mind. Yeah.
I told you.
I could not believe it.
Multiple times.
I pulled the soundtrack with the sung music. I pulled the soundtrack for that and was listening to that. Turns out that is actually a perfect amount of time for my walk to go through, for me to listen to on my walk. So I really enjoyed that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great. I love Sinners. Fucking great movie. But yeah, we did make sure to go and see The Mandalorian and Grogu last weekend. Haven't made it to Supergirl yet. That's probably going to be a Tuesday movie because we're going to talk about movie prices here in a second. But yeah, let's dive into Mando and Grogu, guys. What did you think?
I had a lot of fun. Kyla, my daughter, came down and took me to see it. And she has no backstory at all. She knows nothing about The Mandalorian, does not watch Star Wars, anything like that. She's just like, what do you want to see? And I'm like, I want to go see Mandalorian and Grogu. She's like, deal. And I didn't know she hadn't seen any of The Mandalorian until we were walking in. And I'm like, you want backstory on this? And she's like, no, let me just take it blind and let's see what happens. Laughed her ass off. Had so much fun. Fell in love with Grogu. The whole thing at the beginning, which you see in the commercial, so I'll go ahead and talk about it. You know, when he makes the robot go squish.
Yeah.
And he just a little self-satisfied wiggle of him. I could just hear Werner Herzog back there going, don't be a coward, John. Do the puppet. It was great. It was wonderful. I really did have a very good time. The fact that Martin Scorsese is a credited actor in this movie.
Right.
Yeah. That kind of blew my fucking mind.
He's that little eight-armed monkey guy that made the sandwich.
Okay. And I hadn't had a chance to look it up.
The sandwich scene, he worked with Favreau. With Roy Choi to do the whole thing. So it's just like chef. Because Roy Choi was like, oh, well, he's got eight arms. So, you know, one arm's turning the thing, one arm's cutting the meat, one arm's reaching for the money, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, he was having a great time with it. So, yeah, this whole thing, he worked with Roy Choi to do it all. So it's just like chef. That little scene, that little nothing scene was like chef to me. It was, and I was like, wow, that was chef. And then I found out Roy Choi was behind it. I'm like, that's why it was like chef. I understand.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that really impressed the shit out of me was the title screen start, and it's Pedro Pascal. And you're like, yay, Pedro Pascal. And then the next two guys, whose names I have suddenly forgotten, are his body double, the suit actor, and his stuntman got second and third billing. I was just like, that's fucking brilliant. That is brilliant. I love it.
Yes.
That's somebody from the industry who knows we need to start crediting those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I fucking loved it. I loved the film. I'd say the only thing that was, and it wasn't a disappointment like, oh, that ruined the movie for me. It was more like, oh, I missed some of the old gang, you know, from the series showing up because we just didn't. We did get the glimpse of the one X-wing pilot, played by the guy who was in Kim's Convenience, Mr. Kim. Mm-hmm. We saw him briefly in a sequence, but otherwise. Yeah, I didn't see much of the old gang, and I was like, But at the same time, I'm like, that's fine. This totally fits into the story that was developed at the end of the story.
I get it, and yet, you know, Carl Weathers was unavailable.
Yeah, Carl Weathers was unavailable for obvious reasons.
And what's-her-name is anti-Semite.
Yeah. But I'm talking like Bo-Katan and some of the ones from the third season. Where
I was aware Bo-Katan was not in this fucking movie, and I have got a letter to write.
Very well aware we were missing a Katie Sackhoff in this movie.
I was gonna say, go watch Battlestar, you'll be happy.
Yeah, no shit, that's where he fell in love. But no, it's just all this is, I that was that, and if I had something to hold against it, that would be it, and it doesn't take away anything from my enjoyment of that movie. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I just more or less had kind of an
I did. I just
you see it in the credits, so, or you see it in the trailer, so I can say this. When they yank his helmet off, my thought was, oh fuck, I gotta go swim in that damn pool again down the bottom of the water. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Just a delight. Just a lot of fun.
Yep. Agreed.
But so we have the brothers who have taken over Paramount and are now buying Warner Brothers as well. And they want to put out 60 movies a year, and they want people to go back to the theater, right? Go back to the movie theater. After my experience going to Mandalorian and Grogu, buying matinee seats and paying for concessions, I'm like, dear Hollywood and the motion picture industry, particularly motion picture distributors, I'm looking at you. Your 100-year-old system is making it so nobody wants to go to the movies anymore. If the distribution company is taking 90% of the profits, meaning the movie theaters have to overcharge us a fucking ton to even go see what, even go sit in a movie theater, and I just have to wait, what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks before it shows up on one of your streaming channels that I already pay for? Guess what? I'm not going to see your movie in the theater if I can't afford it. Period. So fix that problem. Get the distributors to stop stealing so much money from the movie theaters, and maybe you studios stop being so goddamn greedy on your sales to distributors, and then you can get butts back in seats to watch movies again. That's my soapbox, by the way.
There you go.
All right. How much time we got, Jeff?
We are 3 minutes over.
Okay. No.
Oof.
We're going to move Tinseltown News to Patreon. So join us at patreon.com/dfenmedia, where every week we give you extra content, which is usually our Tinseltown news, as well as a story that we specifically pick out just for the week. This week, we need to keep gatekeeping out of comics. And we do. We're going to talk about that. So that is coming up this week on patreon.com/dfenmedia. Join our Patreon squad. Help make it a Patreon platoon. At DFN Media, patreon.com/DFN Media. Until then, I will say, as I always do, until Karim Diane writes a story, a really great story for Star Trek, make mine Star Trek.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For I really need to pee.